ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Canto 1, the creation chapter, brand new chapter, chapter 18, Parikshit cursed by a Brahmin boy. We're going to do the first 10 texts. Sutta Uvacha. Yo vai dronyastra viplushto namatsu rurure mritaha anugrahad bhagavatam krishna syad bhuta karmanaha sutta uvacham Yo vai dronyastra viplushto namatsu rurure mritaha anugrahad bhagavata krishna syad bhutta karmanaha sutta uvacham Yo vai dronyastra viplushto namatsu rurure mritaha anugrahad bhagavata krishna syad bhuta karmanaha bolo Yastra viplushto mataha anugrahad bhagavata sutta uvacham Sri Sutta Goswami said yaha one who why certainly dronyastra By the weapon of the son of Drona, Viplushtaha, burned by, never, Matuhu, of the mother, Udare, in the womb, Mritaha, met his death, Anugrahat, by the mercy, Bhagavataha, Of the personality of Godhead. Krishnasya. Krishna. Adbhuta karmanaha. Who acts wonderfully. Translation, Sri Suta Goswami said, due to the mercy of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Maharaj Parikshit, though struck by the weapon of the son of Drona in his mother's womb, could not be burned. Please repeat, Sri Suta Goswami said. Due to the mercy of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Maharaj Parikshit, though struck by the weapon of the son of Drona in his mother's womb, could not be burned. You'll have to excuse me. I'm still getting over a cough I picked up in late January in Mayapur. And those Mayapur coughs, they hang on for months sometimes. Okay. Purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport. The sages of Naimisharanya became struck with wonder after hearing about the wonderful administration of Maharaj Parikshit, especially in reference to his punishing the personality of Kali and making him completely unable to do any harm within the kingdom. Suta Goswami was equally anxious to describe Maharaj Parikshit's wonderful birth and death. And this verse is stated by Suta Goswami to increase the interest of the sages of Naimisharanya. So we're doing the first 10 verses. The theme is detachment and how to be detached and courageous in Kali Yuga. So there's a big hint right here in the first verse of the series. Anugrahad Bhagavata, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maharaj Parikshit was saved in the womb. So this is extraordinary that somebody could be saved in the womb, what to speak of being saved by God. Pittsburgh, 1972, September, Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasana in the temple, and he was describing the evils of Kali Yuga. The same Srila Prabhupada who would remind us that the closest thing to pure love in the material world is the love of the mother for the child. And so Prabhupada leaned forward into the microphone. I was sitting about right where Prabhu is here. So I got a profile shot of Prabhupada. So as Prabhupada said what he was about to say, his eyes started to bug out. I could see them bulging from their sockets. And he said, Kali Yuga is so bad. Even in the womb, Prabhupada started, as he was saying, even in the womb, he started to take his hand out like this and start to twist it like he had a knife in his hand.
Even in the womb, they are coming after you with knife. Yes, this is Kali Yuga. Even in the womb.
So, that was like a year before Roe v. Wade. You know, Roe v. Wade was 73 when, you know, abortion became legal in America. The land of the... Yeah, Prabhupada was speaking 72, so this was a year before Roe v. Wade. But Prabhupada is just, you know, amazed and aghast and just trying to impress on us how vicious this age is, when ordinarily the closest thing to pure love is the love of the mother for the child. But even in the womb, with the mother's sanction, you know, that somebody's coming after you even with knife, Prabhupada was, and his eyes were just bulging out of the sockets. So, okay, next text is the theme is developed, because now Krishna is leaving. Has he left already? Okay, he's left. So that's like on cue, Kali's coming in, you know, and yes, right, because Parikshit, yeah, is not resenting this. You know, he's a Vedic king, but he sees it as also the will of God. So that same Lord, whom he saw in the womb, who he was always looking out for afterwards. Therefore, Parikshit means the examiner. He said, "Where is that person I saw in the womb? He had darshan in the womb of the Supreme Lord." So now he's been cursed. Has it happened yet? Okay, it's coming in this chapter. little rusty. So he's going to get cursed. But he's all going to, because he's Narayana Parayana, he's a pure devotee of the Lord. He takes everything as the mercy of the Lord. He's not going to resent that. So he's going to see that as mercy too. And this is what's coming up in text 2. Text 2. Sutta is continuing. Furthermore, Maharaj Parikshit was always consciously surrendered to the personality of Godhead. And therefore he was neither afraid nor overwhelmed by fear due to a snake bird which was to bite him because of the fury of a Brahmin boy. Now, Parikshit Maharaj, he's pure devotee of the Lord. He could have counteracted this. But he also saw this as an opportunity to go back to Godhead. 1987, I'm in Vrindavan for the first VIHE semester. And the late, great Indra Prabhu, had come a year earlier in 86 to organize 24-hour kirtan. He was the captain of the team. He was the kirtan leader. And one of his devotees, Tapajivana, Bengali boy, had been bitten by a mosquito, and he had cerebral malaria, and he was taking medicine for it. And Indra was administering it to him, to his fallen teammate. His teammate was on his back. And then Indra noticed that Tapajivana wasn't taking his medicine anymore. So Indra said, "Prabhu, take your medicine. You know, if you don't take your medicine, you're going to leave this, you're going to die. You're going to leave this world." So Indra told me this later after Prabhu had passed. He said, at that point, Tapajivana touched his heart and went like this. "I'm ready. Bring it on. I'm ready." So similarly, Parikshit Maharaj, he could have counteracted the curse. He's a Mahabhagavat, pure devotee of the Lord, endowed with, all mystic powers by Krishna's grace. He can do anything that the Lord wants him to do. So he, okay. So, in this purport, let's see, I'll just read my notes. I fell asleep trying to prepare this class. I got the jet lag hit me. And I woke up at 1:30 in the morning. Oh. With a book, So I just, okay. So let's see what I say here. Because Maharaj Parikshit was always surrendering to the Supreme... Yeah, that's the operative phrase here. Always surrendering. Was always consciously surrendering to the personality of Godhead. He wasn't bewildered by Sringi's curse and took it also as mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's easy to take mercy, and it feels good, but, and it doesn't feel good to the material mind and the material body, then you got to be a little philosophically grounded. Okay. And then in this purport, Srila Prabhupada, the relevant section for me was, Prabhupada writes, where is it here? I mean, that's the next text. Yeah, that's 3. I'm sorry. Alright. Okay, that's the next text. Okay, the next text is really strongly about detachment, our theme. So let's look at that. Text 3. Furthermore, Sutta is continuing to develop the Leela and the philosophy line here. Furthermore, after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyasa, Sukadeva Goswami. And thus he was able to understand the actual position of the personality of Godhead. So, why was he able to give everything up? Because he gave himself. We can't give everything up. We're by nature, the living being, we are superior energy of the Lord. So by its nature, superior energy is full of desire. It's a bundle of desires. It's not, as our Buddhist friends say, to become free is to become nothing. Nothing thou art, and unto nothing shalt thou return. No, it's not like that. But it's the nature of the living being to be full of desires, and we get attached. Naturally, we get attached. Krishna gets attached because he's the source of us. But he's also independent. So that's interesting how that works. So how is Parikshit Maharaj able to give up all his friends and family and the royalty and the royal raiment, the dress, and just go to the bank of Mother Ganga in here. Because he was cultivating spiritual life and he had a higher taste. It's the whole higher taste principle. We're pleasure seekers. So, as we heard yesterday from Maharaj, they're going to be seeking it in an inferior way or through a superior way. So we have to cultivate our superior nature. In Gita 2:16 purport, Prabhupada talks about inferior and superior natural sequences. This is one of those gems of lines that you know that pop up in Prabhupada's purports, where you could write a whole doctoral thesis or write a book about one line. It's so chock-a-block, chock full of meaning. So the superior sequence is that everything increases. And we have no experience of that in this material world. You can't conceive of everything as always increasing. Eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And scientists are very much aware of what they call entropy. Everything in the material world goes from a state of wholeness to a state of dissolution, dispersion. But in the spiritual world, it's like, if somebody does something nice for Krishna in the spiritual world, then there's envy, but there's no malice. Some other person will say, oh, look at that. Wow. Look at that gopi or that gopa did for Krishna. I want to do better. So that's envy. That's jealousy. But it's not destructive envy. It means it inspires you to do better. That's all. Prabhupada called this the Vaikuntha attitude. In the material world, if somebody does something, even in Neophyte, even in Kanishtha, I was part of the biography team compiling Prabhupada's life, and I interviewed Achyutananda Swami at the time, and he confided a lot of things. So one thing he said was about Prabhupada starting the movement, and we can't get an attitude about this, but just take it as fact. On the one hand, Prabhupada told us a lot about the failure of his godbrothers to do his spiritual master set. So Chudananda said, so Prabhupada said, if passing air would have helped me in my mission, my godbrothers would have withheld it. Woo! Talk about salty comments. I mean, Prabhupada, he could be so salty, when his and graphic. So this is envy. This is Kanishta. But in the spiritual world, when somebody does something nice for Krishna, we just, wow, I'm going to do better. And therefore, the superior sequence is, everything's increasing. In eternity, bliss, and we have no experience of that here. So how wonderful it sounds, right? Why does it sound wonderful? Because that's where we come from. Mataji.
State, if someone performs a nice devotional service and we have the desire to outdo them, that can be coming from a place of envy too, can't it?
Yeah, that's the point I'm making. I mean, okay, that's taking it a step further, where people are out and out, not wanting to help somebody. Maybe that's like violence. But yeah, sure, yeah. Therefore, Prabhupada would encourage, for example, in our time, in Prabhupada's Vapulila. Transcendental, he called it transcendental competition, for book distribution especially. That's what he was for. But in our neophyte stage, it got so vicious sometimes. What people would do to get more points than the next person or the next yatra would make your hair stand on end. Yes, good point. Yeah. So therefore, we have to be very, very introspective. I love this one line, third canto purport. A devotee is as introspective as a non-devotee is speculative. Actually, he uses the word thoughtful. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. Because the mind's always going. Even when I conked out last night because of jet lag from London, my mind was... But the body's... So the mind never stops. That's why... when we lie down in darkness for the last time and the lights go out, death, that mind better be fixed on pleasing Krishna, because otherwise it's so strong, it's going to take us to another birth in the material world. As you can read about in the 15th chapter of the Gita. So, yeah, good point. Yeah, we have to always, as the late great Bhakti Tirtha Swami would say, we have to take inventory. We have to really... And it's not, it's not easy for the false ego to do that. You have to just not invite your false ego to the inventory party. You're not invited. You're not invited. The false ego doesn't want to do that. Doesn't want to be accountable, doesn't want to be responsible, doesn't want to look inside, just wants to point the finger. Uh-oh. Three pointed right back at me. Okay, let's go on. Yeah, good point. So, text... Where were we? Okay, so the purport, this is where Prabhupada really gets in detachment. So, Amrita Kelly, why don't you read, start where, in the middle of the purport, you see where it says, in the Bhagavad Gita?
This is text 2?
Text 3 now.
Okay.
Because I did read 3, right? Did I? Yeah. So read, this is really about the whole higher taste thing. Read from in the Bhagavad Gita and then end with, the true nature of the absolute truth. You see?
Okay. Anyway. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Paran drishtva nivartate. One can give up all connection with material attachment when one is able to see the param, or the superior quality of things. From Bhagavad Gita, we understand the quality of the Lord's energy that is superior to the material quality of energy. And by the grace of a bona fide spiritual master like Shukadeva Goswami, it is quite possible to know everything of the superior energy of the Lord, by which the Lord manifests his eternal name, quality, pastimes, paraphernalia, and variegatedness. Unless one thoroughly understands the superior or eternal energy of the Lord, it is not possible to leave the material energy. However, one may theoretically speculate on the true nature of the absolute truth.
Thank you. So, a word to the wise. We really have to become absorbed in Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia. You know, that's family. That's really family. You know, and this is our practice family, right? This is we're practicing to step not into, what was that place Harry Potter would go into? He'd step into that rail train station into the. You didn't read Harry Potter? Come on. 50% of your life is wasted. Hogwarts, yeah. He would leave the Muggles' world and he would go. So we're trying to, we're trying to leave Muggle world where everything's muddled. Muddled Muggles. Yes, everything's muddled.
Very confusing.
Okay, text 4. Prabhuji, you want to read? Text 4.
Translation. This was so because those who have dedicated their lives to the transcendental topics of personality of Godhead, of whom the Vedic hymns sing, and who are constantly engaged in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, do not run the risk of having misconceptions even at the last moment of their lives.
So what did I write here? For the practiced devotee, even death and dying doesn't disturb his blissful remembered connection to Krishna. Oh, I just remembered. Srila Prabhupada told us in New Vrindavan, 1972, Janmashtami, in the temple room at Bahulaban. He said, if you practice well enough, you can think of Krishna even in your sleep. You can think of Krishna. And Shruti Kirti Prabhu, our godbrother, he would recall how he would be reading to Prabhupada, and sometimes Prabhupada, read him to sleep. But he said, when he'd be with Prabhupada, if he would wake up, it wasn't like I wake up, Prabhupada would just open his eyes. Because he was always in Leela. He was always with Krishna. He would go to sleep and then... And he would tell us,
you're worse than karmis. You are always sleeping. Too much eating, sleeping,
So Prabhupada, he was always, and so he set the example, you know, how to do that. He just always be absorbed in Krishna. Because later, it was Janmashtami, and later, you know, we had a midnight arti, and then the conch blew, and we were all expecting to break fast, right? It's time, it was famished, right? All the Krishna is very strict. So what does Prabhupada say?
Get out the Krishna book.
So he starts having devotees read the Krishna book. You know, okay, 12:45, 1:15, and he's hearing more and more about the birth of Lord Krishna. Prabhupada's just sitting up and is on the Vyasasana. You know, his transcendental senses are getting more and more enlivened. Meanwhile, you know, we're all kind of like. And the dandas start going like this. It looked like Zazen, you know, in Buddhism. And 1:30, 1:45. Prabhupada looks out, he starts surveying the scene, right?
All right. I think you're becoming a little impatient. Take prasad.
And of course, we couldn't take prasad because we were crashed. We were like, you know. Oh, all right. So 5 through 7, a little not quite on the, you know, the assigned theme, which is we heard about detachment by becoming attached. 6th chapter, Gita. Yang sang yasam iti prahur yogang tang vidi pandava yena bhutan yasheshani drakshashatman yatome. I think I just goofed on Sanskrit. What is called renunciation is the same as yoga, or linking oneself with the Supreme. Because for no one can become a yogi unless he renounces the desire for sense gratification. And then Prabhupada, to illustrate that, he would tell about how you capture a monkey in Vrindavan. You know how to do? They put a sweet inside a bottle with a skinny neck. And the monkey can slide his hand in. And then to get the sweet, he has to make a fist. And then he can't get out of the skinny neck. And he won't let go. And his bewilderment, then they catch him, you know, like that. So that's us. You know, that's me in a nutshell. Hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna, but still hanging on, right? Just still, the mind wants to hedge its bet. You know, it wants to, just in case. When we really, you know, to really come to Nishtha, we really have to just give up all hope or promise of enjoying in this material world. I'm a Amarendra Prabhu, my temple president here in Gainesville 38 years ago. We went to Chicago for Ratha Yatra, and he had a darshan with Prabhupada, and he told us about it later. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, what is sense gratification? Is it a figment of my imagination? Is it real? What is it? So Prabhupada said, perfect, you know, typical questions, perfect answers. Prabhupada said, sense gratification is real because it comes from Krishna. And then Prabhupada said, but it is, and then as he said the last word in his answer, he spanned his fingers, you know, so the index finger was way high, and then his thumb was way low. He stretched his fingers. It is real because it comes from Krishna, but it is restricted. And by the time Prabhupada got to the D in restricted, you could barely see his space between his fingers. You know, it's a promise, it's an advertisement, but the actual delivery is so, you know, like Govinda Das says. What did he say? Adini jamini jagire. Aren't you ashamed? You hear Prabhupada speak the purport. Day and night, you're chasing. Chapala sukha labilagire. This flickering, momentous. You know, he's talking about sanskrit, sex life. Aren't you ashamed that day and night you're working so hard for this little. Aren't you ashamed? You hear Prabhupada. You know, and it's pure. Innocence, you know, his purity. And actually, you do feel like a fool when you hear him say it. Oh my God, this is what I'm doing. Yeah, you're not ashamed of this. So, 5 through 7, let's see. Manaji, you want to read 5 through 7 verses?
Yeah.
As long as the great powerful son of Abhimanyu remains the emperor of the world, there is no chance that the personality of Kali will flourish.
Yeah, because Prabhupada, he takes the opportunity of these verses again to hit on how bad Kali is and the government is bad, and it's little off a theme. So just read the verses.
The very day and moment the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, left this earth, the personality of Kali, who promotes all kinds of irreligious activities, came into this world. Maharaj Parikshit was a realist, like the bees who only accept the essence of a flower. He knew perfectly well that in this age of Kali, auspicious things produce good effects immediately, whereas inauspicious acts must be actually performed to render effects. So he was never envious of the personality of Kali.
So this is the source of that. Sometimes you hear that, right? If you think something bad, luckily you don't get any karma for. Of course, keep in mind that it's only a hop, skip, and a jump before thinking, feeling, and willing. You know, like if you're on a, say you're, I like this analogy, say you're swimming in the river, and all of a sudden you notice that the river, the current is pretty strong, and it's picking up because there's a falls ahead. And as you get closer to the falls, it gets stronger. So as soon as you notice that current's picking up, if you're smart, you'll make a beeline for the shore. You'll start swimming to the shore. That's compared to stopping and thinking, about indulging in sense gratification. So, but say you just start, drifting with it. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Prophets say it's in the purport later in the Gita that they say this world is a dream, but they're very expert in trying to enjoy the dreamland, about Mayavad. So as you start floating toward the precipice, the falls, the current picks up. And then you catch yourself, whoa, and you again make a beeline for the shore, but it's harder. Because you've been entertaining the thought, you've been feeling, you've been letting it, get into your feeling world, right? So it's harder, but you make it, gasping. Oh boy. Okay, and now willing is compared, to just keep merrily, 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 and to keep drifting, toward that. Now it's so bad, once you get there, even if you have, second thoughts right over the, it's too late. You've already willed it, and you just have to act it out. You have to go over the edge and take it from me. It's no fun. I've been there and done that. And you have to learn the hard way. You have to learn not by hearing, but by hard knocks. And I have many degrees from the school of hard knocks. Okay, so let's go to text 8. I'm going to read this one. Maharaj Parikshit considered that less intelligent men might find the personality of Kali to be very powerful. Because in 7, as Maharaj just read, he didn't resent, he was never envious of the personality of Kali. Because he saw that just as it was Krishna's will that he had darshan of him in the womb, actually in Vasudev feature, and he was saved in the womb. So it was all, this was another feature of Krishna. This is part of the cyclical nature of the material. He didn't resent that now the season of Kali is coming in. And he saw that also as the will of the Lord. Rakhi Krishna Mariki, Mari Krishna Rakhi Ki. If Krishna wants to protect us, no one can kill us. If Krishna wants to kill us, no one can protect us. Sometimes we have dramatic, I'll get to you in one second. Let me just tell this little anecdote. In Mayapur, two dramatic contrasting stories of how this is true, and both involving ISKCON youth. A few years ago when I was there, it was 08, tragic accident. It happens every year or two or three that somebody dies in the Ganga. Of course, not a bad deal. You leave in the Ganga. So, but anyway, some youth were on a boat. I think it was a youth... some kind of event, Sangha or something, international, from all over. So this one devotee, Krishna Das, from Russia, real good guy. And so anyway, they were horsing around, and then he dove off the boat into the Ganga, but he smashed his head. Yeah, and he died. And the parents had to come from Russia, to take us, you know, for cremation. You know, it was horrendous. Great guy, everybody loved him, and he just went, 18. Now, fast forward a year or two later, and somebody's son the same age jumped off the roof of, what was it, Chakra? Conch, yeah, Conch, and survived. Was it five stories? Five stories. And he lived, and he's still in rehabilitation, and he's learned a lot. He actually made spiritual advancement. You know, that was mercy too. But so the mercy comes in so many different ways. So, yeah. Heavy. So this verse has a nice section about becoming fearless. So let's see what I say. Maharaj Pariksha therefore took care of the city. Okay, that was the verse. Did we do the verse yet? I'm lost. Okay, we didn't do the verse yet. This is typical of Suresh Roy. He forgets, gets so many stories, he forgets what he's talking about. Okay, Prabhuji, you win the prize. Please read the verse. The English. Can you see it? Okay. Oh, we didn't. Wait a minute. Time out. Your question.
My question was, saying Maharaj Pariksit was not envious of Kali. Is that referring to Kali being so powerful? Maharaj Pariksit not being envious that Kali was going to be taking over?
Okay, this, I think the question behind the question is the usage of the word envious?
Yes.
Okay. This is a very common question. Because, let me take my pill. I'm taking my pills now. Ooh. Too many pills. So, do you know where Prabhupada learned his English? Scottish Church's College. It's called Scottish Church College now. Same school. Prabhupada learned Victorian English. And if you go to, I don't know about Webster's, but in the OED, Oxford English Dictionary, you'll find, you know, the now archaic use of the term envious. It means, actually, it had a wider meaning than we usually mean it to mean jealous today, right? It does survive in some cases. We hear about the phrase jealous husband or envious. Oh, no. Yeah, jealous husband also can mean hate, too. Anyway, envy, it doesn't just mean jealous back in the day. It means hate, you know, ill will. Yeah. It didn't just mean to, you know, want something that somebody had, whether it's something physical or qualification. But it means, yeah, hate. So he didn't hate Kali because he saw Kali also as an agent of the Lord. So, yeah, that in a nutshell is what's going on there. Okay, text 8, Prabhu, please read the English.
Maharaj Pariksit considered that less intelligent men might find the personality of Kali to be very powerful, but that those who are self-controlled would have nothing to fear. The king was powerful like a tiger and took care for the foolish, careless persons.
And this is a real leader, huh? A servant leader. A leader means he goes right where the people are and he leads them by the hand back to Godhead. So now we're hitting on the second aspect of our theme. It's how to be courageous. Right? In the face of horrendous Kali Yuga, where up is down and backwards and forwards. And if you read, was it 1984, or Brave, 1984, where truth is false and, you know, George Orwell was very sensitive to this. Kali Yuga means everything's directly the opposite of what you think it is. When the truth is found to be lies and you know the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? This is Grace Slick, 1966, Jefferson Airplane. Okay. Maharaj Pariksit therefore took care of the citizens by engaging them in pure devotional service. And the Lord, what is it? And of the Lord, so that they would become sober and unafraid of Kali. Only the devotee knows what is what and is therefore fearless. The truth will set you free. I'm just reading my notes there. So, fearing is the strongest drive of the conditioned soul. What's the evidence of that? Can you give me some practical evidence? Raise your hand if you know why it said that of the four drives, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending or fear is the strongest drive within us. What's the practical evidence of that? Raise your hand if you know. Prabhu. Yeah, but the question specific, a little off point. The question was, what's the evidence that of those four activities, fearing is the strongest? Prabhuji. That's an interesting. Okay, I didn't think of it like that. Manaji. Yeah, but what the question was, what's the evidence that of those four activities, the strongest one is fear? That's my question. Can you catch it? But what's the evidence that's superior to the other three? That's. Yes. If you're eating, if you're sleeping, if you're mating, if you get afraid, you're going to give up anything else and you're going to try to defend yourself. That's the king. That's the king drive. Prabhuji. It's another one. Yeah. That's interesting. You know what Mao Zedong's wife said? Most people are bewildered by sex because they've never tasted power. Whoa. Think about that. That's the ultimate stimulant, you know, intoxicant, aphrodisiac, power. Yeah. And most people never taste that because, as was it Thoreau or Emerson said, the masses of people lead lives of quiet desperation. Most people are quiet desperation. Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, see? These guys are reading. What is it? Yeah, well, it's higher, actually. It's the ultimate high. Yeah, okay, in terms of profit, adoration, distinction, you hear that. That's. Well. Let's finish the, so we can get more and more into the Q&A. Let me just pick up. Yeah. Right here. Oh, okay. Anyway, all right, I'm just going to finish 9 and 10 and then take more questions, comments. So the last two verses, Sutta is saying, O sages, as you did ask me, now I have described almost everything regarding the narrations about Lord Krishna in connection with the history of the pious Maharaj Parikshit. Text 10. Those who are desirous of achieving complete perfection in life must submissively hear all topics that are connected with the transcendental activities and qualities of the personality of Godhead, who acts wonderfully. If we want to be detached and courageous, we have to get absorbed in the superior energy. That's all. This material energy is full of fear because it's always slipping through our fingers. The old saying, you know, you never step in the same river twice. Or Krishna says in Gita, Attaining the Supreme, 8:19, Bhuta gramaksa evayang bhutva praliyate ratri agame vishak paratha prabhavatya haragame. Again and again the day comes and this host of beings is active, and again the night falls, O Partha, and they are helplessly dissolved. Coming and going, created and destroying, birth and death, and bum, 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 bum. And the last thing my father, my dear departed father, said to me before, and somehow we both knew it was going to be the last time. I was on my way back from Europe to Hawaii, and I stopped in Stamford, Connecticut, where I grew up, where he was living, in his 89th year. his 90th year. He was 89, so he was in his 90th year. And his karma was such that he was very robust, right into his 80s. He was pretty frisky, you know, right? You know. And then in his 90th year, it all fell apart real fast, physically. And he said, I always wondered who would want to live to be 90, you know, because you're all broken down. And then I realized, somebody who's 89. Because you never want to die, right? You never want to. Anyway, so he was really, you know, he was losing his balance and his vision, and he had to walk. He didn't use it, but he should have been walking with a walker, you know. And then the very last thing he said to me, we looked at each other and he said, what did he say? Oh, okay. All right. Well, no, it was something a little more touching. He said, son, life is a series of sad goodbyes. Sad goodbyes. And he didn't say he was deaf, but that was kind of like in the wings, you know, that was kind of lurking. Life is a series of sad. How sad, you know? Because that's all we know in this world. So we can't, you know, if we want to become, what is it? What's the Sanskrit? Both by rising and by setting? Ayur hariti vai pungsang udyanastan chayandasa tasyarate yakshano nita uttamashloka vartaya. Both by rising and by, this is Shonaka Rishi. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of every living entity except those who glorify the all-good personality of Godhead with choice poetry. So we have, if we want to become fearless, we have to become absorbed in the higher, in the spiritual energy. And that's a real challenge because we're constantly bombarded. You know, I mean, especially these days with electronic devices, you know, the plethora of everywhere, everybody's plugged into that energy that's not going to help us. Yeah. So, that's how to become courageous and detached. Easier said than done. But we just have to keep practicing. That's called sadhana, bhakti. And now I will invite questions, comments, as we move on. Prabhuji, is this? What? Prabhu? Yes, it is. Vallabha Sain. Prabhu. I always know the eyes because we're all changing bodies, freak shows. But I always know the eyes. Nice to see you. You had a question?
Are they aware and was Srila Prabhupada such a Mahabharata?
Is that a loaded question?
No, I'd like to hear it. I always like to hear it.
All right, then you're going to have to come to Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, the seminar that I've been roaming the world with. That's part of it.
You want?
Of course.
Okay. And what is the difference between a Mahabhagavata and other
devotees? It's in the, well, there's a whole, there's purports about this, but I think we're going to have to, can I just defer this? Because I'm here to teach this. And Sunday we're going to get an infomercial about the whole full 10 lesson seminar. And I'm going to give the talk at the Sunday feast in Alachua, you know, before the feast. And it's going to be a 1 hour preview of the seminar, Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. So, So, Vallabha Sain Prabhu, rather than give you just a little bit, I'm going to say, please, if you can, schedule permitting, come to that preview this Sunday in Alachua, New Raman Reti. And if your schedule doesn't permit, I will personally sit down with you and we can go over the PowerPoints, the relevant PowerPoints and lesson outlines. Okay. Mataji. By the way, I'm calling you Mataji because I just came from Mayapur, and I know young ladies don't often like that moniker. I'm not your mother. I could be your granddaughter. But you just tell me what you'd like me to call you, and that's fine with me.
You can call me Worm and Stool.
Oh, come on. Worm and Stool Prabhuji. It's like I asked Vishaka, you know, my great god sister Vishaka, Yadavar's wife. I said, what should I call you? And she, you can call me Doofus. Can I at least call you Doofus Prabhu? Please.
You can call me whatever you like.
Doofus. Doofus is an American thing. It means idiot. Yeah.
So my question was based on this verse that says, Maharaj Parikshit considered that less intelligent men might find the personality of Kali to be very powerful, but that those who are self-controlled would have nothing to fear. Mm. The king was powerful like a tiger and took care for the foolish, careless persons.
Mm.
So that was making me think of, I believe there's this incident where Prabhupada was praying to Lord Nisringadeva, and one disciple asked him, what are you praying? And he said he was praying to Lord Nisringadeva to protect him from Maya.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't know if it was later or some other situation, that the Western devotees, they're probably afraid of Maya.
Yeah. So yeah, you're cutting and pasting different things there, but that's fine. I mean, that's the...
Right.
Yeah, the actual... Srila Prabhupada said this on more than one occasion. In the installation of Radha Gopi Ballabha in Boston, 1971, July... yeah, he leaned over at one point in the ceremony and said, I think it was Satsri Maharaj or Kirtananda Maharaj. He said,
I am simply praying to Radha Krishna. I am not fallen to Maya.
And this is why the Mahabhagavat doesn't fall into Maya, because that's his attitude. That's a symptom of surrender, Bhaktivinoda. To feel oneself exclusively, utterly, absolutely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And because I'm not in that consciousness, therefore Prabhupada also said what Manaji said, or what just said, that the problem with you Western boys and girls is that you're not afraid enough of Maya. We're always flirting with Maya. We're always consorting with Maya. We're always two-timing it with Maya. Because we still think, in our neophyte stage, that there's actually some substantial pleasure there, and some future there, you know, that I can really, you know, have a, this is good. I can invest my, this is a good investment of my time and my energy and my love and my eyes and my ears. And so Prabhupada, yeah, he would say that. And so him saying that is, those two quotes are very good quotes to remember how we are, you know, in the green stage and how we are in the ripe stage. You know, when we're really green and immature, we're still, you know, our consciousness is divided. We're not ananya. We're not undivided. We're divided in our allegiances, in our affections. So when we become mature, then we're totally absorbed in that higher, that ladini shakti, that higher energy. And like the yogis, Ramante yogino nante satyananda chiratmani iti rama padena so parang brahma badhiyate. This is a nice verse that describes how the yogis, they're completely situated, and this is not even pure devotee, this is Brahman people even. They're tasting the unlimited, you know, ananda, Brahma ananda, bliss of Brahman. No, just being absorbed in their identity as spirit, and nothing to do with this place. So, that's the challenge. That's the Hare Krishna challenge for us and for all of us, is to grow up and graduate and just, you know, get absorbed in Ladini Shakti, in the joy. It's very natural. It's very natural for the mind to just take and exploit and be like a predator. You know, we want to latch on to something. We want to hear something nice. We want to taste something nice, you know, just for our own. But it's also very... Here's the good news. It's very natural also for the soul to give. Just remember this. It's very natural for the mind, material mind, to take. And it's very natural for the soul, for the spirit, for us to give and to love and just be in that, yeah, that loving mood, that giving mood. That's why we, even in English, what do we say? 'Tis more blessed to give than to receive. It's a nice slogan, but to actually live in that higher Goloka mood, that takes a lot of practice and blessings and mercy. So speaking of mercy,